Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. No doubt, according to what Carl told me last night, the minute I've just pressed record and said hello, welcome to the Mac Show, the feed just died. Sorry. Nothing I can do about it. We're looking at YouTube, but they haven't authorised my account for live streaming yet, so I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I have to wait to be invited as well, apparently. It's pissing me off no end. We're here to discuss the week's Macintosh news. There's actually been some! Oh, man. Joining me, a great panel. Top left, starting us off, Don, Mac, Alistair.
Good afternoon. I can see you fine. Stream seems to be working from this end.
Oh, that's a bad omen, then. How you been, buddy?
Okay, I survived. I did a very silly thing yesterday, and I drilled through a live electric cable with my big drill.
Well, it's double insulated.
It went bang.
That's good. That's why it's double insulated, mate.
Yeah, give me a shock, though.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And not in someone's good books, but never mind.
Why? Because you didn't die, you're not in your wife's good books.
No.
Is she waiting to get rid of you?
We've got to chisel the wall out now, and it's just... never mind.
Should have gone and flown your helicopter, mate, and be done with it.
I know. I nearly did afterwards, but nah.
So, didn't buy a WWDC ticket?
No. I was shocked how quickly they went as well. But no, I decided a short while ago that I'd skip it this year because they are in short supply, and you know, people were really getting a bit stressed about getting tickets. So I thought, I'll give it a miss and catch up. Hopefully, they'll live stream the keynote. And there's talk that they have said that they're going to make the videos available during the conference. Now, I'm not sure if they mean they're actually going to stream them live or they'll just be delayed by an hour or two. But that's probably enough for me just to not justify going all that way to cover it.
Yeah, no. Two minutes they sold out in, apparently.
Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah, 5,000 tickets. Mind you, there were some technical problems, so they've been phoning people around.
They'll be on eBay in another week for 30 grand, so.
Well, apparently one was on yesterday for 10 grand already. Jeez.
Okay.
2 minutes. One Direction can sell out a concert in seconds.
Yeah, but no one's got pubic hair. Carl, joining us.
Hello, sir.
How you
thanks
doing,
for having
mate?
Me back again and ignoring the petitions to keep me off, and thanks for having me back again, Liza.
No, mate, you're much loved. What's been going on with you? We've got drinking.
I just meeting some big bloke in London and getting drunk with him, so.
Thanks, man. I wish I could have stayed, but I booked an early ticket. The week in Apple's been good to you, mate. Plenty to talk about this week.
Thanks, Jason, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Thanks.
And beneath Carl. Kelly G, from the tallest bloke on the network to the smallest woman on the network.
Thanks.
By your own admission.
Well, that's true. Thanks for having me on today. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, okay. Good. Good to see you.
I am. The sun is out. Like, I've got a cup of coffee. All is right with the world.
Oh, we like those mornings. Definitely. Yeah. Next to him, the bubble god, Will Green.
Next to him?
Next to her, I meant to say. I do apologise.
Yes, no, the take up on the old bubble cult isn't as good as I expected it to be.
Are you selling any tickets yet? Because I don't know where... You see, if I want to join and I don't know what the link is. There is no link to Bubble God, so...
No, well, it's more spiritual, to be honest.
Oh, so the link comes to me?
Yes.
Got you. I'm obviously not high enough quality for your cult, then.
Listen, I've been in London all week. Nobody invited me for a beer. What's going on?
We've been tweeting at you, Muppet. If you don't check Twitter, what do you expect? You didn't follow me on Twitter, then what do you expect?
I do follow you on Twitter. Do I?
I hope you do. I'd be pressing hang up if you don't.
Decent point.
But we've been tweeting out. I'm there. I'm next. Right, you ready? Tuesday night, I'll be at Euston Station from 5 till 7 o'clock. And Friday night, I'll be at Euston Station from probably 4 till 7 o'clock.
Is this an alternative trade you've developed? Are you swinging your hand?
No, I'm waiting for I'm waiting for a train home at 7 o'clock.
King's Cross will give you more action.
Send me way home. I can drink longer because then I can just get me bag and shoot straight off to the train. So
they're knocking it down anyway. They're old used, aren't they?
Well, I hope they don't before Friday because I've got my train book now.
I saw a really, really interesting. Sorry.
Go ahead. No.
I was just. It used to be years ago. I think before any of ours time. There was a great big when it was proper Euston. There was something called the Euston Arch, big beautiful thing.
Yeah.
That was in front of the old Euston. So they're not the old Euston station then. They tried to save the Euston Arch. But you know what they were like in the 60s. They would, you know, knock anything beautiful down. And I watched the program that they found it. And it had been knocked in all sorts of little pieces and sort of scattered here, there, and everywhere. And they sort of put it all back together again. So if you're of a certain age, you'll probably know what I'm talking about. The Euston Arch.
The Euston Arch. We should Google it after this. Jolly good. Steve Neighbours in the chat room. He's coming for a beer on Tuesday night and Friday night, maybe.
Never invite me, do you?
Good man, Steve. You've just been invited. You can't. The problem is you can't remember the days we invited you on 20 seconds ago.
All bloody week I've been in London.
What days are the beers on next week then, Greeny?
Well, I don't know whether I'll be in London next week.
No, but what day are the beers on next week?
Which beers?
The beers we're going to have. What day are they on exactly?
The ones you're offended you're not invited to that you just got invited to.
What days are they happening on?
Well, what are you doing on Thursday, are you?
Then see, there's what limits you make. Right there.
I reckon that's bubble memory.
That's bubble memory. It's the drugs. That's what it is. It's all that washing up liquid.
It depends, sweetie.
You've been inhaling the washing up liquid, haven't you, Greeny?
That's all right. Well, no, you know, I was sitting in this crappy pub because it's coming to a little cash flow and all that. So I booked this room in this horrible Irish pub. And nothing against the Irish, don't get me wrong. I mean, Irish pubs can be great, but this one was horrible. And it was like this big old Victorian room with, you know, when you go into these B&Bs and they show you in and your heart sinks because you know you're going to be there all week. And there was no shade on the lamp and it was horrible. There was an old crappy desk but no chair. And it was basically just a bare room. No carpet. No bloody carpet. Can you imagine it?
What's that going to do with the beer next Tuesday?
Nothing really. I'm just offended that nobody invited me for a beer last week when I was down there in London.
Right.
And you lot were having the high life.
Moving on, because we're getting nowhere with this. DHM, how are you, mate?
I think I'm probably a bit more chipper than that. I didn't get invited for a beer. Mind you, I wasn't here last week, so there you go.
You know that if I tweet out, I'm in London, I'm going for a beer. If you're in London, you're welcome to come for a beer.
Yeah, that's how social network works, I think.
I think, there we go. Well done. You grasped it. I tell you what, Greeny, I reckon you could end up with far less bubble people than you even anticipate right now.
Well, I've only got you.
In the cult. Well, I tell you what, mate, you're pushing that one as well at the minute.
You haven't paid your points of Guinness subscription anyway yet.
I am paying to come in a club with you, mate.
Did I miss bubble thing when I was away last week? Was
bubble, what, you mean you don't listen to the show?
Not all the time. I listen to it when I'm here, kind of like automatically by being here.
Don't worry, I was on the show last week and I've got no idea what it was all about.
There lies the truth.
Instead of doing the Mac show, I had to go and sort out Macs at Steve Winwood's studio.
Oh, you did drop that the week before last year. Yeah, it's very good. Thanks, mate.
And we were there. So that's where the Macs have come from and where your new toy has come from.
My new toy? Is that Steve Winwood has donated it?
No, I've donated it.
Via Steve Winwood?
Yeah.
Brill! There we go. That gives us the ability to do six lines again.
Super.
Without stealing the Wash Mac.
Mention how many lines you do in the presence of rock music.
Good point. It's a lunchbox, says Windrider in the chat room. No, it really isn't. Reviews. Thank you very much for reviews. If you'd like to leave us a review, please tell us if you've left a review in a foreign store, because I don't get to see them every week, and I'll go and get it. TJC left us one in Canada. Thank you, sir. It's great to hear that other countries are not 100% up to date with the USA, just like Canada, and have similar complaints like us. All the panellists are great and bring interesting points of view. Mr. Green is unique.
Oh, that's nice.
I like the dramatic pause in that. The Shatnerian ..
People say that they broke the mold when they made Greeny. No, they didn't. They smashed it and cast it to the four corners of the earth, and it's actually a Homerian tale about how it was reconfigured. Some very strange stuff is brought to light by him. Wish I could make it out for the bash this summer. It really looks like it's going to be a winner. Keep up the great work, and always on. You are always my Sunday watching schedule. Thank you. Cheers, TJ. Very kind of you, sir. If you'd like to leave us a review, stick it in iTunes. We'll go and find it. We read every review that we get. We promise. Every single one, good or bad, one star or five star, it doesn't matter. We'll read them all out. Thank you very much. And it makes a huge difference to us standing in iTunes. So please, please, please give us some reviews. And we've had a letter. We had a letter from Fowler.
Letter?
Yes.
Letters. We get letters.
We got a letter. Hi, Ewan. Just caught the recent Mac podcast where you talked about your 27-inch display not waking up properly, etc. I had a similar issue with mine, but none of the USBs would work. After some digging, it turns out the 27-inch screens have an SMC inside, the same as the Macs. And to reset it, you have to unplug the mains for 10 seconds or so. After that, mine was fine. And I wonder if that's why the guys couldn't replicate your issue and why it's now working fine with the FW drive. SMC, that's System Management something or other?
Controller.
Controller, okay.
Yeah, back in the day, it was PMU, the Power Management Unit. When you talk about resetting PRAM on your...
Yeah.
On your device, this is the other one that you can do. Usually on a laptop, it involves unplugging everything, powering it off, popping out the battery in the olden days, and then press the power button and then put the battery back in, plug it in and turn it on, and that will reset a few of the other settings on things inside. So it's sort of the hardware version of resetting PRAM. It's one of those things that in theory isn't supposed to work, but if you if it didn't work as often as it did, there wouldn't still be a knowledge base article from Apple about it.
Right.
So
while we're talking, and there's a lot of knowledgeable people listen to this, I've got a 17-inch G4 PowerBook and 1.5 dinghies G4, and I've also got a 15-inch 1.67 gigahertz PowerBook, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't used either in years. And I've got new power adapters for them. And neither will power up or do anything. And as I understand it, it's the Windows talk, the CMOS battery has lost its power. And what can I do with the things? How can I make them work? I can't believe that they're totally dead. Is that the end of it?
Battery.
Okay. DHM has maybe a solution.
Buy new batteries.
Thanks, mate. How much is that? 40 quid plus emergency call out.
About 12 quid. You'll get one for the.
No, I'm talking about just your charges.
Sorry?
I'm talking about just your charges.
No, you might get one for the 1.67. I don't think you'll get one for the 1.5. That I think they're unobtainable now, but they're only about 12 quid.
No, you can get them. They're just harder to find.
No way of taking it apart and just giving it a bit of, if the battery has discharged its charge, is there no way of, do you have to buy a new battery or can you not just charge the battery up again if they're rechargeable?
It won't charge.
They're not rechargeable. Buy a new one. It's not the main battery.
The main battery.
You can't, even rechargeable batteries though, Will, you can't recharge rechargeable batteries forever.
Yeah, but the battery on the logic board isn't rechargeable.
It is, isn't it?
Nope. No, it's just a normal, similar to your battery you'd get in a watch or a calculator or something.
It's like a AA. Yeah, you just, over time, you have to get one. And are you guys in the chat room?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a link to the PowerBook G4.
Oh, look at that. Battery. It's a click-and solution straight away, Greeny.
Because, the old G4 1.5...
Aren't you missing a little word there, mate? Aren't you missing a little word there?
What's that?
Thank you, Kelly.
Oh, sorry, thank you, Kelly.
You ungrateful bastard. Oh, I got what I want, bollocks.
Well, is your PowerBook... This is not right. This is talking about a 400 megahertz, 500 megahertz thingy. Isn't it? This is the wrong link. This is rubbish.
No, that's an advert. But no, it's not. Sorry,
it's not. No, it's not. Anyway, I'm sure. But thank you, Kelly. Thank you for the kind thoughts. I'll do a bit more research into it and see if I can find a more applicable one.
All is not lost, Will.
Check out the same site though, because they do sell a lot of bits and pieces, and they sell them for older machines as well. This has been a place that, and their aftercare is stellar. So if anybody is looking for anything, maxsales.com, Otherworld Computing, that's where you want to get it, whatever it is. The first purchase I ever made from them was a 33.6 PC card modem for my PowerBook 1400 CS. That's how far back they go. Yeah, serious business. And they're fantastic. If you ever have a problem, they will help you sort things out the best they can, or they'll send you something new if the problem is, you know, something on their end. And I've never had a problem getting anything from them. So, yeah, maxsales.com.
Okay.
Good stuff.
I used to have a Walkman, and you had to recharge this Walkman thing with this plug-in power adapter, and I lost the power adapter. But then I found one that fitted. But the thing with this one is it didn't have the transformer thing in between, which I didn't realise the importance of. So I put my tape, plugged this in, put my tape in a press play, and it exploded. It was amazing. Anyway.
That's about, what was that, about 15 minutes in?
It sounds like... yeah.
You get the f***er out at 15 minutes in.
Oh,
there's the show title.
But it was funny.
The weekend I've got, it's hilarious now. Thanks, Will.
That's all right. Sorry.
That's all right, mate. We've got a competition going on in the chat room because one of the stories is to do with a certain person and a question that you could ask them. So come on, chat room. I've only had a few so far. Let's get some more questions in. First bit of news then, moving on swiftly from Will's battery issues. Wubble, wub, wubble, wub, DC has gone on sale. And I think it probably took me longer to say that than it took to sell all the tickets.
It did.
2 minutes it disappeared at, and none was left. It's MMX13. There's the logo. Multiple kind of squarey, roundy-edged things. So come on then. What's the hypothesis? What's going on?
They're handing out acid at the conference.
it does look like that, doesn't it? Yeah. It's psychedelia.
It's either that or you can start buying Apple TVs in all the iPod Touch colors.
Oh, it's the watch face. No, it's the watch face. Multiple colors. Oh. iWatches.
Don. I don't know who, but you're getting someone's hopes up.
No.
Translucent Max.
I don't think you read too much into it, to be honest.
Chat room says Translucent Max. We're going back to the 1990s now. It's the G3. They're going to come with plastic horrible bits that are coloured on the side of them. Is there 7 colours or 11 colours in them? Will we see OS 11? I think there's 5 there, isn't there?
2.
3.
I don't think we're going to get 11. We haven't made it to 10.9 yet. I think we're going to wring all the 10 out of OS 10 we can.
Yeah, because I can't think
of any. Didn't Tiger end up going to 10.4.11 before we made it to 10.5?
Yeah, the problem is they're running out of cats, aren't they? So
it's going to be all about the software, though, isn't it? I mean, don't think. Well, in fact, didn't Tim say in that earnings call that the new products are coming out in the fall or autumn, as I was chastised on Twitter for starting in the fall and going through to next year? So
yeah.
We might still see a few little bits and pieces come out, but no big announcements till then. But the big thing is going to be iOS and OS 10. We should see the new versions of the next two big cats. Well, not two, one big cat and iOS.
A tabby.
Tab.
Yeah, I wish they had names for iOS. I wish, you know, we used to informally, for the hardware, first of all, we used to get the code names for the different motherboards. We had Yikes and Sawtooth and different things, and it was, you know, it was an easy way to sort of remember which one it was you had. And so I kind of miss those days. And then when we got to some of the software versions, as those code names got leaked, that was kind of fun. The way I understand it, that was where the cats came from. Was it was an internal thing at Apple, but then everybody on, you know, it was published on the internet, and then everybody started referring to it that way, and so they started going with it. And because the first couple, they didn't really say, they never really announced anything that was publicly associated with any of the kitty names until we got to Jaguar. This okay. is not how you say it. I'm sorry, Steve.
Did you say Jaguar the keynote?
Jaguar. That's how he said it the entire time. And so I'm watching the whole thing going, I'm so excited about the new version of the OS. And he's all
Jaguar. How brilliant can you be? DHM, go on. Yeah.
I was going to say, go on, Kelly, say it. How is it pronounced?
No.
You American, dude, that's one of the things that's like, the most annoying Jaguar. Thing is Jaguar. Why do Americans say Jaguar?
Like it's got a W in it.
Yeah. Jag-U.
Okay, that's okay. Jaguar, is that what you're trying to get me to tell you?
Oh, we got Kelly to say Jaguar.
Yep.
So, is that
an official thing? Like, I know they come from there. So, if that's the way it's supposed to be said, that's the way it's supposed to be said.
Oh, man. I mean, Jaguar's a native in the UK. I mean, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. The original Jaguar skeleton was actually found in the UK, I think, from Piltdown. He was killed up next to Piltdown Man.
My computer will forever be made of aluminum, but I'll give you Jaguar.
Also, you're right about aluminum. That's how it's pronounced.
What?
It was originally aluminum, and it was changed to aluminium. And in fact, the Americans are correct. It is originally it was pronounced aluminum.
Yes, I know, but they didn't attend a conference, did they? Had their hissy fit over the Boston thing.
No, they didn't. That's why it got changed. Aluminium, it was a mistake, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's no extra I.
I can't believe we've got Mac News this week and we're already on to...
Also, whilst we're on the
some subject, shit.
What's it about, what's it with warrior? Why are people that fight warriors?
Hey?
Warrior. That is quite obviously from the spelling warrior.
Okay, who's offended you with that one then?
Also every American.
Okay. Right.
You don't say
so what do we think is going to be in the
thanks,
update
Carl.
That we're going to see?
pony.
Well, we got the rainbow, so Mark's got a unicorn on as well.
Kelly wants a pony.
£20 you can buy a pony for, no?
You can buy a pony for £20.
Yep, that's the going rate for a Shetland Island pony. £20.
Right.
£25.
Is it collection only, though?
I found you a UK battery supplier, Will, by the way.
Put a link in the chat room.
It's in the link. If you scroll back, it's in there.
I will have a look.
Is this a special edition of the Here and There show, says Teresa?
Okay, so...
Booker, he says, what about titanium?
And you can sort of see why the old thingy, though, the old... Why they were sort of mixing up cows with horse, because if you can get a Shetland pony, I know there's not a lot of meat on a Shetland pony, but if you scale it up a bit, for £20, and if you're going to buy them in bulk, well, why not?
You can't upscale a Shetland pony, dude. It's called growing. If they're small when they come and you feed them more, they might grow, but once they get to a certain age, they stop.
Yeah, but you can still
old
get quite
Shetland
a few
ponies?
Now.
I'm so confused right now. You just got, have not had enough coffee.
You just got to see Will going back to the person who shelled him a Shetland pony and said it won't upscale.
I've had this 5 years and it hasn't got any bigger. It's ridiculous.
Oh, man.
Okay, Carl.
Yes.
What would you like to see in the next version of macOS?
Thanks, Kelly. Do you want to take over?
I'm not sure I can think of anything in the Mac. I know I can think of stuff in iOS, though.
Go on. What do you want to say?
I still want to see something, some sort of different welcome screen. I don't just want all the icons on the screen. I know that's what that's what they've had for the last, 7 years. But everyone else has moved on. And I feel that Apple should give us something slightly different now.
I agree. What? I mean, I've said it no end of times on this show. I think that the OS is tired.
I mean, there's nothing wrong. You've got the longevity thing, and you've also got people have grown to know how to use their iPhones because it stayed the same through all that time. So there is they do feel comfortable with it, I'm pretty sure. But it really is starting to look old now.
Yeah. Go on, Kelly.
Well, what is it you want to see, though? Like, you said not just icons, so what is it you're looking for? Are you talking about, like, having a lock screen that does different stuff, like you can get through jailbreaking, or are you talking about something else?
Yeah, so I keep coming back to Google Now. I think Google Now, it looks fantastic. I mean, I can't take advantage of it because I've got an iPhone, but And none of my mates seem to want to use it, even though most of them got Android devices. They don't want to input all their information into Google, which I've done through, you know, throughout my life, well, recently. And I just like to take advantage so I can see, like, if I'm going out, I go out quite a bit in London, and it will show me what time to leave and what train to take and what station, how far the station is away, and, oh, you better leave now, otherwise you're going to be late, sort of thing. I know I should be able to manage my life on my own because I'm a grown man, but I just think that'd be a really cool feature. I know. There is that argument, of course. Like when people moan about, oh, it takes me 3 button presses to get to this one screen. Oh, what a first world problem that is. But I do understand. Everyone wants, all the guys in the first world have been led to believe that life is easy and technology is meant to make our lives easy. And whatever we want, we should get, sort of thing. I know that's not the case, but I would just really like Apple to change the icons on the screen and give us a better lock screen, or a more useful lock screen, maybe is what I'm asking for.
I would like that very much. I used to jailbreak just to get better stuff on the lock screen. One of the things that I thought was super handiest was this utility that would give me, I could customize it, but what I did was I put Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, and there was one more, and you could put the buttons for them in Notification Center. So you swipe down Notification Center, turn Bluetooth on and off, swipe it down, turn Wi-Fi on and off. It was super fantastic. It's a very, very cool option, and I wish that we had more flexibility like that in the lock screen. I know you guys are all complaining about iOS being tired, but I sort of think that there's going to have to come a point where a lot of people are going to have to realize that Apple isn't necessarily for them anymore. Apple is no longer the underdog. Apple is no longer, the poor little company we have to make sure stays alive. Like, there's no resuscitation necessary anymore. So it's not this small little cult of people who have been at it forever. That's not Apple anymore. Apple is marketing to people, capital P people, or muggles, as I generally call them. People like my parents who, you know, value that consistent experience. So while you guys are calling it boring, other people are calling it stable and useful and understandable. Like, I've looked at it before, you know, it looks the same on my new phone as it did on my previous phone. And that makes me very happy. And a lot of people are into that. And if you don't think a lot of people are into that, look at Microsoft's development. And as soon as they deviated from what Windows is supposed to look like, then look where they ended up. Like, everybody hated them. Now, I'm not saying that Windows 8 is a good idea, but at least, you know, good on them for trying something different.
Yeah, huzzah. Absolutely.
Has anyone seen the Mashable?
That's a thing to think about.
The iOS 7 wish list.
Oh, the concept video.
Which I've stuffed the link in the chat room.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty much everything on there, really. Pretty much everything on there.
This is a Mashable.com thing for iOS concept video.
Yes.
I can see the problem, because we all want something new, but we want everything to stay exactly the same.
Well, that's the problem that Apple have, isn't it? They need to keep it simple. They need to keep it familiar so people don't have to retrain to use it. But again, you know, we would like a nice lick of paint. You know, I think it's overdue for a bit of a refresh, just so it looks nice and new and shiny. But it wasn't one of the Samsung devices. I saw a link or a video that they brought out an easy-to-use option. So there's sort of like, you can use the phone, but people weren't using the phone because there were so many complicated things on there. So they've actually included an easy button that switches it into like an easy mode. Wow. So this is the problem Trading that they meals. Need to, you know, that Apple are trying to address. They're trying to keep it simple. But, you know, the more advanced users always want more and more advanced stuff. I mean, I'd like to see a bit more use made out of the geolocation stuff. You know, being able to walk out the front door and to have it, have the password switch on, because I don't really want the passwords to be switched on while I'm in the house. And while I'm in the house, I want this certain Wi-Fi network. And when I go out, I want Wi-Fi to switch off because I want to switch to 3G. You know, all that sort of stuff. They could do some quite clever things with geolocation and geofencing, but they don't seem to quite go that extra mile at the minute.
Chat room's gone off on one. They've cloaked on the tired idea that I said when it was tired, and they've come up with the next OS is OS 11, Tired Cat, Garfield. they've also got to Kit Kat, Top Cat, Ocelot, Chunder Cat, Pony Cat, Bubble Cat.
But we had somebody's Windrider said they had the Simple Finder in System 9, didn't they? OS 9. And that was pretty simple just by itself.
Right.
I remember Simple Finder that you could big buttons.
Undercat.
Windrider also makes a point towards Carl's point. The lock screen is there to lock the screen. You don't need any of the shite on it. It's a security risk, surely.
No, well, here's the thing is, I don't know about Carl, but I don't necessarily need the lock screen to do anything, but like, show me my calendar events for today. Show me, you know, just like for today. And then show me, like, maybe have the weather on there. Show me, you know, some easy stuff right there on the lock screen. I think that would be super handy. And yeah, my cat submission OS name is Thundercats.
It does that, doesn't it? The old weather and stuff. No, it did.
You could get that stuff in Notification Center, but you can't get to Notification Center from the lock screen.
Well, to be fair, does it really matter? I mean, let's be honest.
No, the only thing
isn't it picking hairs a bit? I mean, it's like, I mean, the lock screen is the lock screen to lock your phone, and it's only one click away to see what the weather is, or see your email, see your diary, or anything else. And the iPhone screen is relatively small, I suppose, compared to some of the other devices these days. So I think they do the best they can do with the space they've got. I'm not going to defend the look of the thing because it's bloody horrible, isn't it, these days? But now John is on the case, the next edition is going to be great, isn't it?
Blind faith and optimism. Well done, Will. Yeah, thank you very much, right. Mate.
Yeah, no, I've got to go with it. But I think it's true, isn't it? Old, whatever his name is, the used car salesman, he messed it all up. I told you that years ago. It must have been 3 years ago I said he's messing it all up, didn't I?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Well done, Will. You prophesied it.
Yeah.
So what's going to be your reaction if, after we've waited all this time and they show us in, what is it, June? Sorry, I've lost the date now. June. They show us in June what they're going to bring us later in the year. And you can't see it much in the way of significant change. Are you going to get upset?
Ooh. File management. It's got to have file management. That's to turn it from a phone to an actual computer. That's the essential missing point is, I mean, I'm fed up with all these extra file management applications that don't work particularly well. I mean, it's bloody crazy, isn't it? That
it's not good.
You have to store a word processing document in an application rather than in a folder that can be opened by multiple applications. It's just madness.
That's not how iCloud works, is it?
Get rid of all this stupid leather and wood stuff. Get rid of that. Another thing, put that. What's that bloody, what do you call it? It's like a bookshelf that everybody hates and it won't go in a folder. What's that thing called?
You leave that alone.
Don needs that.
It's rubbish. At least be able to delete it or put it in a folder.
What they need to do, or what I'd like them to do, is to start differentiating in iOS between the iPhone and the iPad, because they both have two completely different roles. And yet we've got the same operating system and pretty much the same features on each. And I think the iPad's becoming more and more to more people now, not just a mobile device, but it's becoming their computer. And, you know, the iPhone, although we can use it as a computer, it's not its primary function, you know. And I think really now they need to start looking at ways of helping people use the iPad more as their sort of day-to-day computing device rather than just like a bigger iPhone, basically. And we don't really see that. You know, we see applications are optimized for the two different screen sizes, but not so much functionality-wise. I think they could go down that route. And then, of course, you've got the whole issue of, you know, how far on this next release cycle are they going to merge iOS and OS 10 together? How far have they gone down the road for doing that?
I think that's a mistake trying to merge those two. They're two different form factors. And I agree with you. It's the iPad is one thing, the iPhone is another, and the Mac is another. Why try and make one operating system fit all?
Mm. I think they want familiarity.
Yeah, well, that's working for Windows 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't disagree with that. But I think the one thing that really frustrates me about multi-touch in the iPad particularly over the iPhone, and kind of latching onto Don's point about differentiation, they've never got this idea of like the difference between swiping in the middle of the screen and swiping at the edge of the screen. And then when notifications came down and you got that, pull it down from the top, and it works really well. You've got an edge selection there as opposed to a center selection. You're opening up 8 zones to do other things. And what does your iPad do and your iPhone? It swipes left and right. Okay, If I swipe from the edge as opposed to centre, does it do something different? No, it doesn't. If I swipe with two fingers instead of three fingers or four fingers instead of one finger, what does it do? It does what it does with one finger. There's nothing.
It doesn't.
It does. I've just opened my iPad and I've swiped with three fingers and it goes onto the next screen, which is what happens when I do it with one finger.
Then you need to do the developer, turn on the gestures.
Oh, well, there's a good reason then.
Because, oh, no.
Oh, that's for the four-finger fingers.
Yeah. Four-finger up and the five-finger pinch.
Yeah, yeah, I've got those on. Five-finger
pinch takes you to the home screen and four-finger up, or, yeah. That used to be a thing you had to turn on. So, I'm sorry, you are correct.
No, I've got it on. But what I'm saying is, if I swipe from the edge of the screen as opposed to starting my swipe from an inch in, 2 inches in, it could do something.
Which you can do on a Mac.
It could do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't. It's crap.
The problem they've got, though, is with all these gesture-based actions, is it's really hard to educate people how to use them because it's not intuitive. And a lot of the iOS applications that I see that have got gestures built in, I hardly use the gestures because I don't know they're there. And I might know they're there 1 week and then not use it for a while and then go back and I completely
That's
forget
your age that is done.
Do you reckon? Yeah. No, but I mean, I find that when I'm just sort of demonstrating software, you know, I have to really read up on it because intuitively, there's no visual clues more often than not as to how you use gesture-based things on an app. It might be the first time you run it, the home screen pops up and it shows you, you know, all arrows flying around left, right, and center. But that's it. Then once you've seen that, you're supposed to master it, and then you're on your own. So I think that's a problem with gesture-based control overall, and might be a reason why they haven't gone too heavily down the route of gesture-based controllers, because it's not really intuitive yet, and it takes so much effort for people to actually learn those gestures to get benefits from.
I'm going back to Carl's point, though. You know, Carl wants a different screen once he opens up. He doesn't want to just see the icons there, and I agree with him. But if you look at this idea of, right, I know my applications, and you can set them up to do whatever you want. If I do a two-fingered swipe from the edge of the screen as opposed to the centre of the screen, I pull in applications onto the desktop, or I pull in favourite applications if I pull down, or I pull in location services or web services and widgets if I pull in from the left with two fingers. You know, that kind of interactivity where there's, you know, a nice clean desk space and then you pull stuff in that you want to use and you preset where that is, whether it's a near sweep or a far sweep. And then once you're in that zone, then you can do the normal sweeping through, the normal gestures. There's so much expansivity within this, but they don't use it. They absolutely don't. It's not changed in a long, long time.
Do you know what feature I'd like as well? And that is whatever apps you put on, say, screen one, the home screen, they become your default apps automatically.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
That would be, that's purely sensible. I want Chrome to be my default browser. I want Mail app to bugger off and I want to replace it with Sparrow.
Okay, I want to tack onto that and say, if you have another something installed, say a calendar application, and I want to use my calendar application or my weather application instead of the one that came with the OS. Mm-hmm. If I have one installed and it is set to the default, if I have that option, open something in a weather app, it's the one I chose and not the one that shipped with the phone, I should be able to delete that one from Apple.
Hmm. Not have
Only
to keep
if
it.
If I have another one and it's set as a default, there should be a couple of steps so people can't accidentally, let's throw back to the 90s for a minute, so people can't accidentally delete the internet off their computer.
Mm-hmm.
If you go through a couple of steps, then you should be able to go, here, this is what I want. Or you should be able to turn on some sort of, no, really, truly, I know what I'm doing checkbox and go, you know what, stock app, I have never launched you in my life on purpose. I've fat fingered it a couple of times on accident. You need to get the hell off my phone.
I think it's fair to say, Kelly, in everything that you've just did, Wind Rider summarized. Stocks can piss right off. There you go. Which is kind of combining the two points together very, very succinctly, I would suggest. I think top
I
three really suggestions.
Like the opportunity to remove those.
Me, That's Carl, and Kelly, right there.
It's sort of dumbass app as well, isn't it? I mean, if you need access to stocks information that much of your life, that it's on your phone, it's with you, then you probably have like another app or another way of getting hold of your stock information, not the sort of the half-assed one that Apple have given you.
Because if you are using that for any sort of actual data information, then you have, you need more than the stock app will comfortably give you.
Hmm. It's like the difference between a calculator and a scientific calculator.
Right. Oh, tip of the day, because I just told Batwinch this in the chat room. If you take the standard issue system calculator,
yep,
you're looking at it, right, and it's all numbers, and you flip it sideways, it's a scientific calculator.
Cool.
I didn't and know everybody in, didn't you know hold that. It down, there you
it
go.
It says boobies. You can't do that with the iPhone calculator because you turn the iPhone upside down and the calculator spins round.
Lock screen.
Yeah, you've got the switch, haven't you, on the iPad.
Someone's going to design that lock screen and send it in. I guarantee it. So, yeah, tip of the day. You flip the calculator sideways, it goes scientific. I didn't know. So there it is.
So we've got lots of iOS ones. What about OS X? Anything? Because I'm not sure if there's anything missing. I'm quite late to, like, full-size Macs. So Mountain Lion seems perfect to me, but they always have to advance and innovate. So what do you think they're going to add to OS X?
I think there's a hardware problem with that, though, Carl, because I think the Intel chip hasn't gone far enough ahead for them to push it any harder with what the OS can fully achieve. There is no need to change, I agree. I mean, if you look at where we're at from Leopard, yeah, we've got some changes that are quite nice, but they're a bit more glossy changes than real fundamental changes. The 32-bit versus the 64-bit, huge change. But now you've hit 64, it's not going anywhere else. So I don't think the hardware's... There's not enough botheration of why would I bother to change it, you know, enormously from where it currently is because of hardware.
They could change the standard hard drive icon on the desktop from that. I've got a nice Doctor Who TARDIS one, which is quite good because it's like bigger on the inside than the outside, which is quite a nice metaphor for your hard drive. And they could ship them all with those. I've got a nice little K9 icon I've got as well up there for my other drive. They could have those on instead of them because they're ugly, the ones that come with the Mac.
Yes.
Where'd you get those? Now I'm all distracted.
From the internet.
The what?
Well, the best ones I have found are from Icon Factory, which is why I was asking.
Yeah, they're not from Icon Factory, actually, but I did type in Doctor Who icons, and there's a very limited set. K9, TARDIS, Dalek, and the Key to Time, which is a bit fuffy. But the TARDIS one, that should be the standard one for your Mac, a little TARDIS icon. But the K9 one's the nicest one.
The one feature I'd like to see in the next version is to turn off the dock. I never use it. I put it on hide. If you're in Photoshop or something like that, it's a right pain in the ass because it keeps popping up. So if the ability to turn that off would be good. It was always a bit clunky. It's left over from Next, wasn't it? The Next OS. But yeah, I would like to turn the dock off. But I agree that there's what can you do? It's functional, it works. Really, the operating system is just the engine, and you can't keep reinventing the engine. It can only go so fast, driven by the hardware. The main parts of it is the apps, really, isn't it?
And yeah, so, absolutely. And they've neglected those dreadfully.
When I saw the new iMac released on stage, I was a bit, oh, yeah, whatever. They've made the edges thinner. But when you see it, in real life, it's beautiful, isn't it? It's the most beautiful looking computer I've ever seen. I was surprised how different it looked. I think they're lovely. And I'm just talking, that's sort of a bit of a tangent. But we're talking about the software improvements and hardware improvements. Mm-hmm. I can't really see how they could better the new iMac. It's glorious.
When they launched it and all of the images showed you upside on, and I was on here and I said, I think it's rubbish that they're going to run up against real problems because people will see how thin it looks on the website and the pictures, and they'll go into the store and they'll be disappointed because it's got the bulge at the back.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went into the store and it's like, those photos in no way do this machine justice. This machine is absolutely stunning.
It is beautiful, isn't it? Absolutely beautiful. A piece of design magic. I wonder who designed it.
Oh, here we go. Get Johnny up here. I want to muff him.
The only thing I worry about is when, like, I think it was you, Will, you had lots of problems when it went from Snow Leopard to Lion.
Absolutely. There just seems to be an inconsistency between the hardware teams and the software teams, isn't there?
But there was a huge watershed there, though, as well. I mean, Rosetta went the way, and what was the other change? there was a lot of stuff wiped off between Snow Leopard and Mountain Lion.
Yeah, for me,
they started hiding all the library folders and things.
Yes, it was more.
The biggest thing for me with the OS, and I know you can buy all sorts of file utilities and sort of Finder replacements, but I just wish they'd sort of put an advanced mode on the Finder, you know, give us a dual pane view or something. Thanks. Or just, you know, the Finder really is pretty crippled as it is. You know, it's not really a very effective way of doing file management. And I'd love for them to build some more advanced tools, or, you know, just a simple two pane view would be fantastic.
Mm.
Yeah,
Pathfinder's definitely got the better of that.
Yeah, but I'd like it to be built into the OS rather than, because with all the add-ons, it seems to work for a while, and then something happens, and I always end up switching them off because, you know, it's not
never feels good, does it, when you get the add-ons?
Mm-hmm. There's always something in the background going on that you're not quite sure about.
Yeah.
Tim Cook, for charity. Well, this is your chance, Will. Tim Cook, for charity, is offering a coffee with Cook. So all you got to do is pay a sum of money and go and have a cup of coffee with Tim, and you can ask him any question you like. Currently, they reckon that this would be worth about $50,000. The current bid is $280,000 or something like that for it.
$295,000, I think it is now.
It's gone up to $295,000, and there's still 18 or 20 days left to go on it. So here you go, everyone. You've paid $500,000, depending on whether it is, to get a cup of coffee with Tim Cook. Now, I presume he's going to talk at this cup of coffee, because there'd be no point if he was just going to buy your coffee and then say, see ya. So here you go. What is the question you would ask Tim Cook given that opportunity? A one-to-one, 5 minutes, no eavesdroppers, no recording devices. You can start asking whatever you like.
You'll never see Tim Cook and John Major in the same room together, will you?
Did someone just say it was Scott Forstall so he could lump him?
It's gone up to 560,000 now.
560?
Yeah.
What? The fake Scott Forstall Twitter account said it was getting a group of investors together so he could bid.
I would ask him what Steve Jobs would do next.
What would Steve do? Come on, anyone else got a question?
I'd like to a bid and then just go and ask some totally unrelated, inane question.
That's what I'm asking you to do now.
No, like, how many sugars do you have in that coffee? Sort of.
Oh, that's a bit polite.
Exactly.
I like it.
What could you ask Tim Cook?
Right, I'll leave you a minute to think about it.
You have that giant vault of money that you swim through.
You are.
You like Scrooge McDuck.
Is your middle name Richie Rich? Right.
What's your nickname at school?
How big's your...
Oh,
my
God. Oh, give over, Will.
What? What did I say? Well, Christ, I mean, who's going to pay $500,000 to talk to that boring old bastard? I mean, I wouldn't, would you?
Someone is. Someone's already into it. They haven't paid it yet, but they're getting close to it. Fortunately...
Have you ever tried it on with Johnny Ive?
Yeah, he's Steve a crap shag. Right. Listen, unfortunately, I asked the chat room earlier and they've emailed him in. Adam says, my question to Tim Cook would be, with the rise of Android, Windows Phone and somewhat BlackBerry, how could your team possibly save iOS from turning into another Symbian?
What?
Dad, and you haven't really grasped this competition, have you, mate? And what the irony is, he sent that from a Sony Xperia. Which says it all, really, doesn't it? Fortunately, there were some other ones that saved us. I've got to be nice to Adam because he's nice to me on the photo show. So here you go. I did say I'd offer a prize. I haven't got a clue what the prize is yet. Excuse me, Tim. Do you know the Wi-Fi password for here?
That's awesome.
Please, could I have a cup of tea, which they've just repeated in the chat room? Please, could I have 4,000 lattes to go and a skinny decaf for Will Green? And the winner is... from Colin, John Browett, what the f*** were you smoking? But if I've got to do some editing, I might do a lot of editing. There we go.
I think that was my, I would probably tack on to that question and just go, whatever you were on when you hired Browett, are you sharing? Yeah. Clearly that's the good stuff.
It's the same thing that the people who set prices of earphones are smoking. Right. Financial call thing. There was the earnings call, wasn't there, this week as well? Yes. Now, I put a thing in
and
the doc.
And it was a tragedy.
It's a tragedy. Why? When the feeling's
because
wrong.
Apple only made almost all the money instead of all the money, and so clearly they're doomed.
Down on revenues. What I love is the one line that says revenue was between 33.5 billion and 35.5 billion.
It's the accounting you want.
No, because I'm dyslexic, so I read that as revenue is between 33.5 billion and 33.5 billion. What? Gross margin?
2 billion between friends.
36 and 37%. Well, I put a comment in. I don't know if you guys read this in the doc, but I put a comment in there just to kind of put it in context. Apple sold last quarter, we're not talking about the year, last quarter, second quarter, 37.4 million iPhones and 19.5 million iPads of every distinction. So let's just take those two things at face value. Canon, the annual sales of Canon for compact cameras is 13 million units. That's the most that Canon, the largest seller of compact cameras in the world, can push in a whole year is 13 million units. And Apple sold 37 million iPhones last quarter. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, but did you notice that they didn't sell as many last quarter as they did the quarter before, which has annoyed all the analysts, even though the quarter before was the arsing Christmas quarter.
No, that was the first quarter, because this is second quarter. So that would be fourth quarter would be Christmas quarter, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but last one they've announced was first quarter, wasn't it?
No, the one they've announced is second quarter earnings.
Oh, well, in that case, screw them.
Yes.
Obviously failing.
So, back to sleep, eh?
TikTok needs to be out of there by next Tuesday.
Here's some perspective, though. This is a couple of things to consider.
Shut up. You've had your chance, Doc DHM. Go back to sleep. Let Kelly talk. I never thought I'd have to say that. Kelly, go ahead, mate.
Okay. In 2005, when Apple filed the earnings report, I don't remember which quarter this was, but in 2005, Apple's quarter was $3.5 billion with a B. Today, iTunes and services is $4 billion.
Wow.
By itself. iTunes. So, and in another slice and dice, because we were doing some of this over at Tua, iPad sales this last quarter, the one they just reported on, were $8.75 billion. Just iPads, just last quarter. Okay? Keep that in mind, because it gets important when I tell you the next thing. In fiscal year 2004, Apple's total revenue for the year was $8.27 billion.
Wow.
9 years.
It's a 9 year change.
Was
that's
eight
cool.
And a quarter. iPads in one quarter. Yeah.
See, these figures sound wonderful to us because we're normal human beings. We are not analysts. And the only thing an analyst sees is, okay, you've done that for me last time. What are you going to do for me next time? They're not interested in the tech. They're not interested in the company. They just see it as a something for them to make money off.
Well,
and if they
be careful, because you're talking about describing the difference between an analyst and a stock market analyst. And the stock market analyst is in cloud cuckoo land because they're expecting on futures. But any company that turns over EBIT is your measure, isn't it? The profit against costs, and 36%. Is friggin' enormous. I do work for multinational firms and they think they've got a very, very hot project if they make 10% on it. 37 is just like unbelievable.
But the only people that these figures interest are the analysts, the stock people who are buying and selling Apple stock. And the stock has been so volatile after the last year that there's no way there's something not fishy going on behind the scenes.
How do you mean?
It shoots all the way up and then it plummets down and it recovers and goes up again. And yet Apple are not doing anything. It's all on rumours that are coming from analysts saying, oh, yes, they're going to bring out a telly this year. Oh, they haven't bought out a telly. That means Apple's not doing what, you know, they should be. No. Basically, they're not following the script that the analysts want them to follow.
No, I mean, the stock market is run by people who think too much but don't use a brain to do it. I remember going back to the early 90s. Reagan was in office, and Nancy had a mastectomy, and she was going in for the operation on the day. And on the day of the operation, the U.S. stock market dropped 400 points on the Dow, which was going back to the 90s was a fair old chunk. And the reason it dropped was because they thought that the president would not have his mind on the job of being president because his wife was having a mastectomy. They wiped 400 points off the value of stocks based on whether Ronald Reagan would be paying attention or not. That's the stupidity of stock markets.
But I can
understand what happened with the fake tweet this week.
Yes, that was, yeah.
But I can understand that. But you're now getting people who are themselves analysts, and because there's no Apple news out there, they're making up these strange claims because they've been told in the supply chain, blah, blah, blah. Tech journalists report it, and then that affects the stock. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, it seems to me.
Yeah, the thing that annoys me is that the stock market valuation and the stock price has nothing to do with the company.
It's not asset.
So they're going along, they're doing fine, they're breaking all records, and the stock price isn't keeping up. But whenever you see the stock price reported to the average man in the street, if you go to the average man in the street now, after the last 6 months worth of press coverage that Apple have got, they probably think Apple are in dire straits. They probably think Apple have got a huge problem because they're seeing all these reports in the news about they're missing targets. I mean, ridiculous last quarter. They didn't miss their targets. They missed the analyst targets, which were from Cloud Cuckoo Land. So the headlines were all Apple misses targets, but there's no context, there's no background to it. And that's the thing that really frustrates me, is that people are getting an incorrect picture of what's actually going on with the company itself, because the share price is totally unrelated to how the company are actually delivering and performing.
Well, you've only got to just sit and logically think about the title. What is the share price? It's the price of the shares.
Mm.
So what you're saying is, how much are you willing to pay for what I own? And if you're willing to pay more, then I'm going to put the price up. If you're willing to pay less, I'm going to take the price down. If I have 500 million eggs on the UK market and I sell eggs, they're a certain price because the market's flooded. If all of a sudden there's chicken blight and I've only got 125,000 eggs, the price of eggs is going to go up. But it doesn't mean that the company that is manufacturing eggs has more money as a result.
No, but we're not saying that, are we? We're saying that the people who are selling the stocks and stuff are creating the stories that Apple's not doing well, or they've missed this, or they haven't bought out a watch this year.
Well,
yet,
no, that's the opposite. If you're selling stock, you want to create the perception that Apple are doing well, not poorly.
Yeah, but if you drive the price down, you can buy more stock, and then you've, like, when they come out, because Apple never say anything, really, and then when they do their show and they bring out all these new shiny things, the stock goes up, you clear up.
The stock goes down, traditionally.
But can you imagine what's going to happen at the end of this year if they bring out six new items?
Carl, why do you think the stock goes down when Apple release a new product?
Because when the build-up to these things, the price constantly goes up because there's demand for it and everyone's getting excited. And as soon as they release it, a lot of these same analysts go, oh, well, Apple didn't do that well. They didn't give us this. They didn't give us that.
And so it's because more companies release stock for sale because they think the share price will go up after the announcement, and it doesn't. So that will bottom out over the next couple of announcements. It won't go down afterwards because there won't be as many stocks going on the market to sale because they won't expect a return instantly. That's why the share price of Facebook plummeted, because everyone put their stock up for sale and no one wanted to buy it. So there was a glut in the market, so the share price went down because no one wanted to buy it.
Part of the problem, though, is analysis, because people are listening to analysts. They're listening to Gene Munster, who is going to beat the Apple TV drum until there's just no bang left in it anymore. Let's be honest. That's all he ever wanted in life. I swear to God, they're going to make one and give it to him so that he will talk about something else. But another thing is, like, people listen to Henry Blodgett. Like, Henry Blodgett is a useful information source. He's the guy that runs Business Insider. And he was convicted of fraud and banned from the Securities and Exchange Commission. He is no longer allowed to trade because he was caught doing shady trading things. Like, he was giving out public advice on something and then sending private emails to other people that were like, don't listen to my public advice. This is what you really should do. And the thing that bothers me the most about all of this analyst stuff is, if this is how clueless they are about technology, how goofy are they on the other stuff? You know, like, if I want to get into green energy, if I want to start looking at oil companies, if I want to, you know, if I want to look at trading automobile stock, like, how knowledgeable are these guys about any other industry if this is how wrong they are about Apple? I mean, Apple continues to set consistent targets and basically meet or exceed their targets every time. They never make all the money, and so that's the only thing they make that apparently analysts, you know, don't like. They don't make enough money. We can't make iPhones fast enough to meet demand. This is a company that's doomed. These are, I mean, as a person who actively watches Apple, I understand where this is coming from. But, you know, other people, like you guys were saying earlier, like somebody walking down the street, if you go ask them how Apple's doing, they're going to say terrible. They're on the verge of going out of business. Why do you think that? I read Business Insider.
Yeah, no, it means absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. Jolly good. We've put the world to rights.
I like Mr. Munster's name. I think it's lovely.
Dean Munster.
Yeah. Munster.
Is he tall?
I don't know. Yeah, I hope so.
He's got a wife with white streak in her hair. Right.
And Ed Balls. Made me laugh.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK 2. We love them. They're brilliant. They are... I'm going to do a voiceover for them this week as well. You'll hear my voice. It's bad news. Hello, Carl. They've been supporting us for the last few years, and they're still supporting us now going forwards. Hopefully, Craig's going to come, the guy from UK2, is going to come to the bash. So you can say how much you love them anyway. Get off, Carl. This is an advert for a sponsor. Stop pissing around. Do it when you bring your own adverts. UK2 do web services and tons of other stuff. I kind of limited it there. But if you want anything from them, go and check it out. Domain names, co-location services, hosting, servers, whatever. And they've got great prices. Then come back to our page that you've gone through from on BritishTechNetwork.com, and you'll get discount codes that are absolutely phenomenal. Please use our link through off our website. Otherwise, you don't get kudos for it. But support UK2 because they support us. And we'd be lost without them. Cheers. Sit down, Greenie. Yep. Cool things. What we got? Donny boy, start us off, mate.
Okay. It's a weather app. Actually, it was mentioned in the chat room earlier today by coincidence, but I had chosen it before then. So if you look at the spreadsheet, I'd put it in first.
We will back you up on that. Yes.
No, it's a great web app. I know we see plenty of weather apps that you can get from the App Store and download and install on your phone, but this is actually... a web service that installs as a web app, and it's called forecast.io. So all you do is you go across to forecast.io with your phone or your iPad, and you can add it to your homepage. And it's perfectly formatted for the phone or for the iPad, and it's got some really nice animated maps. You can have a look at local, regional, and global weather. It gives you good forecasts for the coming week, and it's very, very nicely done. And it's a web service, not a standard traditional app, but it's well worth checking out. And it's free. You can put your local location in, it remembers that and put different cities in, but well worth checking out. See what can actually be done, not just with a standard app but with a web app.
Yeah.
Forecast.io.
We've had web apps akimbo the last couple of weeks, haven't we?
It's fab.
Good. Very good pick, sir. Carl, what have you got for us?
I've lost my thing. Mine is for an iOS. It's a game, basically. It's a tabletop racing. I don't remember Micro Machines racing game. Do you remember that in the past?
I bloody do, and it was great.
Yes!
So,
stunning.
I'm not sure this is going to come out. So you race around like little tables and picnic things, and, well, it's really hard to play like this, but you just try and win the races.
Is it tilty motion, or do you steer?
I think you can choose whatever one you want. Like, I fell off the table there.
It's my fault.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was trying to play and you was interrupting me. But no, it's good, entertaining fun. I think it's been out for a while now, but it's I think it's $1.99 in the App Store.
Ah, it's not the end of the world, is it?
No.
You take that. Good choice. Good choice. I remember Micro Machines. I loved Micro Machines. It was absolutely brilliant. And didn't they do a version where you flew planes around and shot at each other as well? Air combat. Micro Machines Air Combat or something like that. It was awesome.
Yeah, this has got rockets and you can drop bombs and set traps for other players.
There we go. Copycat and gits. Excellent pick. Kelly G, what do you have for us, Mrs.?
Well, it was going to be Fantastical so that everybody could figure out where you were going to be and when they should show up for beer.
Oh, thanks, mate.
But because they should. It's awesome. Fantastical is great because it will do natural language, but that's not my actual pick. My actual pick is a magic application. Not that it does magic. It's that it is magic. And what makes it magical, it's called Command Q. And if you hit Command Q real quick, like, and quit the app that you're in, like if you're Kelly and you have 109 tabs open at any point and you hit Apple Q, it is your undoing. And so if you didn't mean to do it, if you did it real quick, like, but you didn't mean to, what Command Q does is it makes you hold it down for a second. So you basically have to quit like you mean it.
Good.
And it is awesome. I can't tell you how exciting it is. I mean, it sounds really silly, but
I think that's a good idea because I hit. I mean, it always pissed me off that Command W is so close to Command Q.
Yeah,
it's ergonomically unclose.
And I know a lot of people who, you know, like you, Ewan, they're video editing or they're doing, you know, like working on some sort of giant project with lots of files or whatever. And then Apple Q and down it all goes. And it's gotten better in 10.7 and 10.8 where, you know, the restore of the initial application has been improved. But at the same time, come on. Also, this magical, super fantastic application is $3.99 US.
It's very good. So, I mean, what's nice there as well.
$4 to save your bacon.
Because normally your visual cue that you've hit the wrong switch is the fact that your application disappears, and that's the only time that you know that you've done it wrong. But because you're changing the way you press, you don't get the problem. Yeah. I like it. Subtle.
You have to hold it down.
Simple and clever. Very good pick.
My bonus pick this week is that for reasons unbeknownst to me, Yahoo Music asked Mike Doty, who was in Soul Coughing, which is a band out of America, they asked the guy who was the lead singer, he's a solo artist now, to sing a song about iTunes's 10th birthday. And so he did. And it's beautiful. And the song is so catchy. I recorded it off the video. It's on my phone. I've listened to virtually nothing else for the last couple of days. It's super catchy. And it's about...
Is it happy birthday?
No. But it's about when you get drunk and buy a bunch of stuff on iTunes.
Apple can't afford the rights to Happy Birthday, mate.
Nobody can.
No.
So Richard Cheese actually released an alternate Happy Birthday song for people, and it's completely
Richard
free.
Cheese. Richard
That's
Cheese? That's Dick Cheese, isn't it?
Yes. That's why he did it. And he does loungers of pop songs. So like Rage Against the Machine and... Nirvana and some different things, and he's made cocktail versions of them. So Richard Cheese, I'm full of bonus picks today. Richard Cheese is an awesome music option. But anyway, Mike Doty did a birthday song for iTunes about getting drunk and buying a bunch of stuff, and it's really awesome. And you should go listen.
Okay, Batwench in the chat room has issued a news flash: Lego Batman for iPad is only £2.99. That's in the tens.
I have to go buy that right now.
Right, see you later. Kelly's gone. Greeny, what have you got for us, dude?
I got a really good one, I think.
Good.
It's for Mac OS X, and it's for podcasters and for app developers. So, you know, at the start of this, you read out the reviews, and yep. What a pain in the bum it is to keep changing the, you know, your store in iTunes to see the new reviews. Well, this app is called... Comment Cast. It's free. I think you can put three in there. But basically, you can put your app or your podcast into it, and it will show you all of the reviews all over the world. Give you the full text, give you the average rating. It's great. Check it out. I think for you, and it'll be particularly useful.
It bloody works.
For anybody.
I've already clicked download. It's already downloaded.
It says bloody hours it does.
I've just got to put my password into PayPal. We're sorted. Greeny, that is the pick of your appearance ever.
I knew you'd like it.
$5.
Nothing. Five, yeah.
It's free up until I think about two or three feeds, but But for yourself, it'd be
yeah, because I've got tons of feeds. That's brilliant. Thank you, mate.
That's
top,
all right.
Top of the class for Greeny. Straight away. Awesome. I'll buy that Guinness now anyway.
Mm. Great. Great.
And DHM.
Yes.
Your pick, sir.
My pick.
Your cool thing.
My cool thing. Where's my screen gone? There it is. Right.
Apparently it's an echo.
Dude, interestingly, my cool thing is probably to do with the world's least cool thing.
Right.
Because I have bought pretty much the entire back thing on iTunes of the back catalogue of the band Rush.
Yeah, I love Rush.
Do anyway, because they are the most awesomest thing in the history of rock. But I didn't realise there was a documentary called Beyond the Lighted Stage, which you can buy on iTunes if you're American only. For some reason, all the best documentaries are on the American iTunes. Fantastic. I mean, who knew? What a brilliant. It's just fantastic how uncool this band is. I mean, religiously and fundamentally uncool, but simultaneously still awesome. And it's a fantastic documentary about their, they've been going for God knows how long.
I spent the first 5 years trying to work out whether Geddy Lee was a bloke or a woman.
But yeah, $9.99 on the US thing. You have to get it from Amazon in the UK because iTunes for Britain is pants. Brilliant. I saw them a couple of times live back in the 80s, and they were awesome then, and they're still awesome now, and they were awesome before then, as this documentary shows. So watch it, and then be uncool with us.
Excellent. I've already put the Max show. Let me
point out, there's a website for the documentary, rushbeyondthelightedstage.com, and it has a list of all the different countries and how you can buy the documentary in all those countries. Yep. Canada, US, UK, Australia, Germany, Japan, Netherlands, Norway, Denmark, Finland, Spain. All those places. So if you are not in the UK, the UK option is Amazon, but if you're someplace else, you may have other options, so you should check that out.
Excellent. Excellent. Yes. I'm not trying to trump that, because I love Rush. I'd love to watch that. I'll get it down. But I watched the Queen thing on the train the other day, the Queen thing that BBC did, the two episodes, and that was really good.
What I don't understand about Rush is how can you be that big for that long and that unknown all at the same time?
Yeah, no, that's true. It's because everyone that finds you trying to works out whether you're lead singer is a girl or a boy.
Yeah. And just, I mean, also, the drumming, absolutely. I mean, I can't believe there's a better drummer in the world than Neil Peart. I can't believe it. It's not possible to be better than that.
Well, what's the chap out of Stone Roses? You'd struggle to beat him.
Because Cozy Powell gets a pass because he comes from the Cirencester. But apart from that,
he's had sex with Steve Winwood as well. Just in case he sues, I've made that up completely. I have no fabric for that whatsoever.
Steve is no longer with us.
He died in a car crash outside Swindon about 10 years ago.
No, I know, but I just he can't sue me. That's all right then, yeah. But no, Steve Winwood could.
Oh, yeah, he could see you. Yeah.
And then he won't give me my Mac Mini. My pick is Focus Twist. It's available for iOS. It's £1.99 in the English store. And it's nothing like the Lytro camera. Let's just say that for a start. But it's kind of like the Lytro camera. No, you take your thing and your phone and you put it sort of 3 to 5 inches away, as it says in the instructions, from the thing that you want to photograph. And you take the picture. You have to hold it extremely steady. Otherwise, you get a shifting in the image, because I think it takes two images and then mushes them together. But the end result is, if your iPhone is steady or your iPad is steady, then what you actually get is an effect that's like the Lytro camera. So you can touch the screen to change the depth of field and the focal point on the image. So different things will go in and out of a blur. It only does a foreground and a background change. It doesn't do. You can't tap absolutely every item that's on there and get a completely different depth. But it does that type of effect, and it outputs it to a web page where you can do the effect in, I'm guessing, like a Flash or HTML5 type thing. and then it puts it into your photo stream. You've got to do it in the app. You can't just do it through viewing it, but you've got the standard static photo in the photo stream to use if you really want to. But Focus Twist, I had a lot of fun playing with it. It's good. And you can share it as well, so it goes on social media. So it's nice. All right, that's something. Where can we get a hold of you? Don?
Right, you can find me over at screencastonline.com. You can also find me over on Twitter and also on ADN, app.net. And by the way, this week's Screencast Online shows that are going out later on this evening, they're all about app.net. I've done one for the Mac and one for iOS. And the free tutorials. So there's Mac one's about 40 minutes, the iOS one's about 20 minutes. So I sort of explore what alpha.net is, what app.net is rather, and what alpha is, the web service, and some of the really nice Mac clients you can get now, and over on iOS, some of the great iOS apps you can get for app.net now. Because I think people have a bit of a misconception that it's just sort of like a Twitter clone, when actually it's more than that now. There's file storage on there and all sorts of really good applications being developed for it. So if people want to learn more about app.net, they can go across and download my tutorials. That'll be out later on today.
Excellent.
Yes, because I agree with Don. It is very, very, very different from Twitter, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, very, I mean, the core of it is a social media platform, but there's...
There's no similarity between the two at all, is there?
There's what?
There's less crap.
There's no similarity between the two at all.
There's a similarity. It's a social network. It's a social media network, but there's extra whistles and bells.
Yeah, and there's less dickheads.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Especially ones you invite, you know, and then turn on you.
Oh, that's harsh. Yeah, but it's just a bloody Twitter ripoff. I don't see the point of it. What is the point of it?
It's not. Go on, Tom. Right, okay. It's a platform. It's not just an application. And on the platform, you have access to shared file storage. There's access to chat room levels. And you need go and watch me. Go. You can get, you don't get it. So go and watch me tutorial.
I will do.
You've got a free membership that he gave you. Worthwhile.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it is certainly worthwhile. Yeah, but I mean, it does seem a little bit. No, I mean, I'm sure there are a couple of extras, but it does seem very, very similar to Twitter. And I'm not too sure why anybody would bother. Why would we bother?
Something like Twitter, Will. You can use up to 250 characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's brilliant, isn't it? Look at that.
It's
sold me there.
It's twice as big.
Yeah.
No, the thing is, there's no adverts, so they don't sort of treat their users. They you know, there's no advertisements. They don't sell your details on. You can get all your data back as well, because when you upload, say if you take a picture, an image with one of the applications, it gets put in a file storage area. You can actually download a Mac client that you can see all your files that you've actually used on all across all your clients that you've used on app.net to upload to the service, and you can pull them down again if you want. Or you can use it, if you use the free service, you get 500 megabytes of free net storage, so you can basically just use it. Even if you just use the free account, you can use that cloud storage to upload files and download. If you become a paid member, you get 10 gigabytes of storage included with your account. But
why are you going to upload stuff to it? What's the point? I mean, what is the point?
Well, it's going to take $100 on my cloud.app application that I have. Or if you don't want to use Dropbox, you can use this free server. It's just the beginning as well. It's just the developers are just starting to get sort of into what they can do with app.net. And in 6 months' time, it's going to be, there'll be some pretty smart applications. There are already some pretty smart applications.
I'd stop now if I were you, Will, because Don's going to have a contract out you before soon, and you'll be down in the tontine tonight with a Guinness, and someone will come in and stick you in the back of the neck.
I will put a small bet that in 6 to 12 months' time, it'll be dead. And Don will be saying, sorry, Will, you're absolutely right. It was a Twitter ripoff, and it wasn't very good.
Right, the date is the 26th of April. Someone make a note of it. In 6 to 12 months' time, if he's not already dead, Will Green will come back and collect.
I was going to say, that's the fundamental difference between it and Twitter, is that in 24 months, it won't be here.
Yeah.
And Twitter will?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nah.
Yeah.
It will, but it'll be full of ads and beliebers.
I feel sorry for Don now. Don, I'll take back my comments, and I think it's going to be great.
Now, what was the bet? I missed the bet. How much am I going to win?
I don't mind, really.
This subscription.
The tweet of the week for me was a guy whose flatmate was going out on a sort of second or third date with a girl and reckoned that he was going to bring her back that night, in inverted commas. So his mate went out and bought dozens of Justin Bieber posters and decorated his room. Good lad. Like that. Have we done DHM? Where can we get hold of you? We've done everyone. Or have we only done Don?
We've done Don.
We've done Don, right. Carl, where are you, buddy? Will, shut it. I'm just telling you in advance. Shut it, please. Otherwise, we'll never get finished.
You can get hold of me on Twitter at Claw0101 or on The Media Show, where we talk about movies, TV shows and digital streaming thingies.
You should listen to The Media Show. It's a good show.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Kelly, where are you, miss?
I am on Twitter and mostly app.net as Verso, and you can also find me at tuaw.com.
Thank you very much. Greeny, in words of less than 400, tell me where you are, mate.
Well, BritishMac.com and the next British Mac. This probably won't mean much to people outside of the UK, but our good friend Ian Mitchell hooked me up with... For me, a legendary interview with Mr. Alan Simpson of, Simpson and Galton fame, who were the Tony Hancock writers. So the next British Mac will have an Alan Simpson. Well, the first part of an Alan Simpson interview, which is was really good for me. So BritishMac.com. Also WorldOfWill.com and also PipeSmokerOfTheYear.com and also, what's Bubble the EDAM one? What's the EDAM one? What's that called?
The EDAM Project.
EDAM Project, that's right.
Yeah.
Get me there too.
Okay.
I never took that any further, you know?
No, really?
No. I made a picture of the EDAM Project and made it out of cheese, but it just didn't, it didn't work. And so I gave it up because it looked really like a Photoshop version of the EDAM Project with some cheese pasted on top of it. And I didn't think it was fooling anybody, to be honest with you. So I sort of gave that up.
Yeah,
working in cheese is hard, Will. It is hard.
It is really hard.
If your name's Richard Cheese.
I was trying to make a scale model of Mordor from grated parmesan.
Yeah.
And I got cut as far as Mount Doom, but
well, dude, don't do the grating, mate. Parmesan carves beautifully.
No, but you have to squish it back into shape. It's cool, but I got kind of...
That's like chiselling wood chips off and then trying to glue them back together, you muppet.
Well, we apparently, my wife tells me I've got better things to do with my life. Apparently.
Parmesan's hard, though. You're better off with that soft stuff. What's the soft stuff in the red waxy thing? That's called?
Yeah. Edam.
Edam.
What?
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
You don't even know what EDAM is. I'm going to make a new website, Red Waxy Project.
The Cheese Show.
The Cheese Show with Will Green. Right, I can't believe we've done an hour and a half and we've only covered two stories.
We've covered all the important stuff, though.
We'll be back again next week to finish off what we should have done this week.
Don't worry about finding me anywhere.
Oh, great. Oh, Jesus. I haven't done the bash either. Oh, Christ. Heavy editing. DHM, where are you, mate? Say it.
Apparently, this week, you can find me where the music meets the ocean.
There's no oceans in Cirencester.
Sire.co.uk.
No Zac Brown Band fans around.
All right, okay. Thanks. Okay. Thanks for that. Glad we waited. you can come to the bash. The Bash is the 6th of July, 2013. It's £20 a ticket. No, I'm not selling an entertainment event. You're contributing to share the costs amongst us all. That's it. Nothing else. If you've got your ticket, you can come and there'll be free beer and free food all day at the venue. Now, why am I selling it this early? Why am I keep pushing it this early ahead of it? It's because on the 25th of next month, I have to pay for the venue. The venue is £400. That's just to get us through the door. If I don't have enough people come in, I don't need a really big venue. So you need to buy the ticket so I know you're coming. That's the reason I'm pushing them. So after the 25th of May, Bash tickets will come off sale. You will not be able to buy a Bash ticket after the 25th of May. Get it bought now or you'll be in trouble. It'll be a house party round at my place again with only a few of us. There's also a curry the night before, and the curry's on the 5th at 9 o'clock at the best curry house in the world, allegedly, before Greeny butts in. And that's £10. It's a separate ticket. You buy that, and £10 comes off your curry bill. It's not a free meal for a tenner, all right? So, come to the bash. It's going to be great fun. We're going to have the World Card Cutting Championships, which, for the benefit of Batwench in the chat room, is where you cut a pack of cards to see who's got the highest one. Even the kids are going to play that. And have some fun. It should be a great, fantastic day. If the weather treats us right, it's got a big garden. If the weather treats us badly, it doesn't matter because it's a huge hall with a badminton court in it, and we'll have tons of room. There you go.
So should I bring my model of Mordor in Parmesan?
Yes, we'll eat it. Unless you've put it together with your own fingers, of course, and then we might not. Unless it's washed.
The Parmesan thing's just not going to work.
It's not.
You've chosen the wrong cheese.
There you go. There will be a sculpture from Mordor that you can look at from DHM and choose to eat or not eat, as it will. 12 South are going to send us a pile of goodies through to give away on the day. Thank you very much to them and Andrew and Lee. And I'm trying to call them into coming over, but I don't know where they're going to come. But there's going to be piles and piles of stuff for them to give away, and there'll be a prize from them for the card-cutting champion. It'll be a knockout tournament through it. Everyone that's there for the day. Kids are coming. Steve's bringing his kids. Aaron's bringing his kids. My kids are going to be there. Will, you bringing your little ones again?
Yeah, I think so.
Good man. Why not? And we'll have loads of fun. So, 6th of July.
We're not going to eat them, or
get anything, your ticket booked. No, mate.
Got some sort of Wicker Man thing.
No, mate. It really isn't. Okay. We'll see you next week. Thank you for more than ever. Thank you for listening to this week's show.
Bye-bye.